Hi, this is Jeannie Bollet from The Echo Game, and you're listening to A Little Dead Podcast, your place for full frontal nerdity. The dream goes on.
McPierce here. Welcome to episode 193 of A Little Dead Podcast, your place for full frontal nerdity when it comes to bloody Valentine kisses, that lady with the manly voice, and giving new meaning to the term body farm. This week, I watched the film The Taking. Mike Zombie is dead and loving it this week, not with a film, but with a recap of the vacation that he just went on and some pictures he's going to post up on YouTube. And that's him beeping me. And since love is in the air, mainly because of the pheromones from Valentine's Day, I'm sure you're now in the mood for some wet, sloppy news.
Right after the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. He's blind. So we'll hear about that coming
up. Okay.
First up is superhero news.
Superhero news.
Lots of movie casting news this week. Jason Momoa is being cast as Drax the Destroyer for the film Guardians of the Galaxy, but the deal's not done yet. As of this recording, his reps were still negotiating with the filmmakers. The film hits theaters on August 1st, 2014. Peter Dinklage is joining the cast of X-Men Days of Future Past. He's going to play Dr. Bolivar Trask, the scientist who develops the Sentinels, a series of large androids whose sole purpose is to seek out and destroy any genetic mutations in humans. The film is scheduled to hit theaters on July 18th, 2014. Back in episode 187, I reported that Haley Atwell, who played Peggy Carter in Captain America: The First Avenger, would not be back in the follow-up film, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. This week, it was announced that she will, in fact, be in the film. Stanley Tucci, who played Dr. Erskine, confirmed that she was going to be in a flashback scene in the film, presumably with him. The film hits theaters on April 4th, 2014. Felicity Jones has been cast to play a part in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but no word on who she will be. Rumor has it she will play Felicia Hardy, better known as the Black Cat and one of Spidey's many love interests, though hopefully she won't be in costume in the second film just yet, which hits theaters on May 2nd, 2014. Some comic book updates. The Green Lantern series of comics from DC are going through some creative shakeups. Geoff Johns, who has been writing the main title, will be stepping down with issue 20. Along with Tony Bedard from New Guardians, Peter Milligan from Red Lanterns, and Peter Tomasi on Green Lantern Corps. Though Johns will continue to write both Justice League and Aquaman, he's turning over the reins for Green Lantern to Peter Tomasi, and Hale Fialkov will begin writing for Green Lantern Corps and Red Lanterns. Lots of characters were confirmed for the game Injustice: Gods Among Us. Shazam and Aquaman are definitely in, with gameplay trailers on our blog. Also on our blog is a trailer showing the Joker battling Lex Luthor and the Flash fighting Shazam. Injustice: Gods Among Us hits store shelves on April 16th in North America and on April 19th in Europe. In science fiction news,
Science Fiction News.
A making-of trailer, as well as a new gameplay trailer for Star Trek: The Game, came out and are posted on our blog. The game hits store shelves for the PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3 on April 23rd. And speaking of Star Trek, Alice Eve, who plays Dr. Carol Marcus in this spring's Star Trek Into Darkness, emphatically said that Benedict Cumberbatch will not be playing Khan Noonien Syne in the film. This after Entertainment Weekly spilled the beans on their website saying he was to play Khan, which we reported to you last week. The film hits theaters on May 17th. If you have some news you'd like to share, you can call it in on the Little Dead comment line at 206-338-0665. Or you can send it in an email to alittledead@gmail.com. Now let's see what we have in the Little Dead mailbox.
You know what movies I'd like to see? I'd like to see
Godfather 2 talked about on this show. I don't know. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, Godfather 3. Oh, yeah. And a whole bunch of other things. Maybe I'll email them when I'm not tired. I really miss you guys.
Seriously, we need to do the second Godfather film. We've talked about it enough, we need to just put it on the calendar and plan to do it. We also got a few emails this week about our 200th episode, which is in just a month and a half. You can check those out in episode 193.1, which is available for download as well now.
I say every house in America should have an electric chair. And every man just once in his life should sit in it. Just so that he can feel the power of millions of gallons of electricity flow through his veins.
I got an electric chair, that's all I need.
You get an electric chair, Sheldon, you don't have to worry about the audience. You get an electric chair, you can tell them anything you want, as long as it's real. You get yourself an electric chair and it'll sit there all night long. Kind of a funny idea, sitting in an electric chair and doing a show. Well, think of the therapeutic value of an electric chair and all the money it has. Yes, an electric chair in every home.
The Electric Chair, a show about horror. ElectricChairShow.com.
An electric chair. Wow.
Hey, everybody, it's your pal Mike Zombie. And this week we're going to talk about a very abbreviated look at my vacation, because I just did a 25-minute recording and I just kept blabbering and fucking up facts. So I'm kind of tired, kind of pissed off, and just want to go to bed, honestly. So here's my no-frills recap of my trip. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see pictures that I'm going to include. But if not, well, just enjoy the audio and use your imagination to see what I'm talking about. Went to Vegas Thursday to attend the Rugby Sevens tournament at Sam Boyd Stadium. That's an international rugby tournament, 10 stops. This was the middle stop. I was there for the New Zealand All Black. Well, the New Zealand team. Sorry, they're not technically called the All Blacks. This is an abbreviated team. If you follow rugby, rugby football or rugby league, rugby sevens is a bit different. It's seven players on each side, 2 7-minute periods with a 2-minute intermission for the coach to come out and yell at the team and tell them what they're doing wrong. I bought really good seats in September, taking a friend of mine. He couldn't go, so I was left to find all kinds of fun stuff to do. Thursday night I landed, and I'm not even bullshitting you, within 30 minutes of getting the rental car, I'd already purchased 2 ferrets, which I had shipped back by car Saturday while I was at the rugby tournament. I actually had a car go from Vegas to my house in Long Beach to drop off 2 ferrets and then come back. How fucking awesome is that? Hey, things are good when you're the king. So, Thursday night went to the Pinball Hall of Fame. Yeah, it exists. There's a couple hundred throughout their existence, from the very first few that were made to the current ones that are coming out. It's free to go. It's on Tropicana. Look it up. It's a lot of fun. Free admission, but you got to bring quarters or change some out, because these tables all work and you can play them all, and they're really, really fun. It's a great look back. Next up is the Atomic Testing Museum, and that is on Flamingo, I believe. Yes. It's associated with the Smithsonian. It's an amazing, you could easily be in there for a couple of hours, but I did it in about 45 minutes, just kind of going through looking at stuff. The Atomic Testing Museum, it was amazing. And I paid attention in history and certainly about in science and learning about what we've done as far as in Nevada, but I had no idea. Because I'll tell you that there were 100 detonations done above ground, be it a few in wartime, but a whole lot of testing. And those are the ones we see the videos of. Do you know how many subterranean tests were done? How many of these giant detonations were done underground, primarily in Nevada? Take a guess. Don't Google it. Take a guess. It's more than that was done above ground. And this is in a very short span of time. It's not 1, 2, 3, not even 500. 828 subterranean detonations. You know how much radiation that is? How much fallout that is? It completely fucked most of Nevada. You wonder why Nevada is just a giant fucking high desert dust hole? That's part of it. That's part of it. And they even show when the shaft opened up, they had a crack in the ground, and it just threw out a whole bunch of smoke full of fallout that went over and settled down over southern Utah, and pretty much gave an entire Mormon town, like everybody, I'm exaggerating, had cancer everywhere. And they couldn't prove it came from there, but I mean, Mormons don't drink coke or dance, so how the fuck else is everybody going to get cancer besides this testing? 828. What fucking fool. And what fools we were. And now we're trying to get all this stuff stopped and regulated and taken away. You know, we're like, well, this country can't have any. No, we fucking set off 828 below ground and fucking cursed and poisoned that ground. Unbelievable. Anyway, National Atomic Testing Museum on Flamingo. Look it up. NationalAtomicTestingMuseum.org. It was a lot of fun. And a lot of learning, too. And the gift shop is amazing. They do have an adjacent Area 51 exhibit, like Fact or Fiction, and they try to sell it to you as an extra. I was told don't bother going. A friend of mine used to work at Area 51, so I'll just ask him. And I have. Believe me. And he's like, no, it's not what you think it is. So from there, ended up at a 7-Eleven. Exciting, I know. But in Vegas, they have a little kiosk with pamphlets, you know, for tours and helicopters and bungee and all the kinds of shit. And one thing caught my eye. It said the Zombie Apocalypse Store. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I grabbed it. I checked it out. Folks, just go to zombieapocalypsestore.com or visit them at 3420 Spring Mountain Road, Las Vegas. Call them 702-320-0703. The store is amazing. What it is, really, is an Army-Navy surplus /survival store that has been given a zombie facelift. And they carry most of the same products you would find in like an Army Navy surplus, but it's been, like I said, redone as zombie gear. And it's really, really fun. They've got a shooting gallery that's light activated that makes the zombies jump up and down. They've got a cage where they put a zombie guy in there to go as people are shopping. It's really, and you can take pictures with them. They've got equipment out front, old military transports that are painted for zombie, you know, collection, and they've got zombies chained down. It's a fucking spectacle and a half, and I loved every minute of being there. They've got everything you could ever possibly want. Zombie shirts, zombie hats, zombie posters. I brought a zombie gun targets. I brought a Nazi zombie target home. I'm not going to shoot it up. I'm going to put it up my fucking wall because it's awesome. MREs. I don't know if the MREs were zombie themed, right, to be honest, but they have them. Movies, just souvenirs, posters, you name it. For a zombie nut like me and many of you, this is the fucking place to go in Vegas. Now, they've also tied in with some of the Vegas, if you've never been there, has actually more than a handful of places where you can go for a fee and fire off any gun you've ever played on Xbox in any one of the Call of Duty or Halo, whatever. Oh, maybe not Halo. But they've got just about every single automatic weapon you could ever imagine, and you can go fire as many rounds as you want for a fee. You'll pay for it. And they're doing something in conjunction with them. Max Brooks was there signing copies of World War Z. Not when I was there. It would have been great. But this store really, really was a lot of fun. Now, the owners, I talked to them both. You know, for all the work they put into making an amazing zombie store, they're really not that into zombies. Like the lady was, who was, and they were both very nice. I'm not saying that. They were like, she's like, well, I don't really like zombies. I'm like, hey, that's no problem. And I believe he was a husband. Because I was pointing at the movies. I'm like, have you seen The Dead? Because they had The Dead. I'm like, that's the best zombie movie made in 10 years. He's like, nah, I don't really, you know, watch them. So the owners really aren't into zombies. They're probably survivalists, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, and I thought about it. You know what? Walt Disney probably didn't go down and fucking ride the Matterhorn at midnight either, but he knew what people wanted and gave it to them, and that's exactly what they're doing here. Now, who does make this place work, who does make it fun, is Kimmy. She's this cute little redhead behind the counter who you think she could probably break your fucking arm. There's something about her. She's tough. I don't know what it is, but she's got that aura of, oh, I'll kick your fucking teeth out about her, which is great. She really sells the place. She's into the weapons. She's into the training. She's into the guns. So, folks, go to the Zombie Apocalypse store. Say hi to Kimmy from Mike Zombie, that boob that wandered in from Long Beach and there for a rugby tournament, and buy everything they have. They're fairly easy to find. Look them up online before you go. Google Maps tried to send me to Pakistan when I was trying to get there because I was like, oh, my God, I have to go here. So, fun store, nice people. Did a really nice job. And yeah, you'll find everything you'll find at most survival stores or surplus stores for military gear, but you're going to find the zombie stuff you're not going to find anywhere else, and you're going to find it here. And they really, really did a great job. So thanks, Kimmy. You made it fun. And I've asked them, let me know when you guys have an event. I mean, they had fucking Max Brooks there signing. So I said, when you have something going on, let me know, and I'll let everybody else know that's into zombie stuff. We have listeners in Vegas. I know we do because I've talked to them. I know they're there. So anyway, go check. People in Vegas, you already know about this place, but those coming in and out of town, going to conventions, whatever you're doing, set aside an hour and go check. It's right off the fucking freeway. You can't miss. Well, you can. I did, but it's there. It's right at the freeway. It's there waiting for you, so check them out. I went to, after that, went to the bodies exhibit at the Luxor. For me, total letdown. It was in a very, very minimized version of the one that was up in L.A., probably a quarter of what was shown, and I have no pictures of it. You're not allowed to take it, so look up Bodies in Motion. Same thing, but only a little slice of it, which makes sense. They only have a small area to put it in at the Luxor with all the other attractions, so fuck it. To me, it was a waste of money, but whatever, I went. Rugby tournament was a shitload of fun. I sat in the middle of, there were 10 nations around me. Everybody was, you know what, Europeans drink a lot of beer. My God. It was 40 fucking degrees with the wind chill, and these guys are sucking down Guinness from 9 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. I don't know how the fuck they pull. I'm like, can I get some cocoa? Yeah. New Zealand took second place, so I didn't get to see my team win, but the captain pulled his hamstring the week before, so it's all right. I had a great time anyway, going again next year without a doubt, and I will be going back to Zombie Apocalypse Store. Absolutely. So what trip to Vegas would be complete without a magic show? A couple months before the trip, I bought bought two front row seats to Penn and Teller at the Rio, and I was really looking forward to it. What's to say? Penn and Teller are funny. Penn Jillette's very well spoken. He's an author. He's really amazing. If you've ever heard him debate anybody, he's really, really, really fun to listen to. So I bought front row tickets to their show and was just blown away. The show was a little quicker than I would have liked, but it was sitting that close, I saw how one trick was done. I looked for that and it kind of bummed me out, but I'm like, well, that's what I get for sitting the most on the fucking stage. But then they did two tricks back to back, which I almost got up and walked out. I was so disturbed. I'm like, what the, how the fuck did that happen? It was really, really good. Teller had me help him see that this ball and this thing was real, and so I got to help him out. And the beautiful thing about Penn and Teller is after their show, they go out to the lobby, and they will talk to everybody, take pictures with everybody, and sign autographs for whomever. So Penn Jillette signed my copy of God No, which is an amazing book. And as you can see, if you're looking at the video podcast, he even took a picture with me. Yay! I got one with Teller, too. But it looks like we're both smelling liverwurst, so I'm not going to show that one off. But that was a great show, an evening well spent. If you go to Vegas, you have to go see, fuck Chris Angel, go see Penn and Teller. They're actually really, really funny. Then I flew home and have just been getting shit hammered at work for, I don't know who I pissed off, but they're running my ass off 13, 14 hours a day. And I have to honestly be in bed in 15 minutes so I can get up tomorrow and do it on Saturday. So I hate to cut this short and make it not fun, but I'm fucking wiped out. Had a great time. And thanks to everybody who made it fun, all the people at the stores that I talked to. Had a good time. So, folks, have a good one. We'll talk next week with a real review. All right, see ya.
Excuse me, what are you doing? Are you looking for porn again?
No.
Well, what is that I see?
It's not porn. It's the badassboobsandbodycounts.com website. I happen to be looking at the reviews in the boobs section of the site.
They have a section of the site dedicated to boobs?
Yes, they do. They cover exploitation films in the boobs category, action films in the badass category, and horror in the body counts category.
What's that review you're reading now?
This is Andy Sidaris's Malibu Express. See at the bottom of the review there, they list how many boobs appear in the film. In this case, it's 22 pairs. This is definitely a film I want to see.
You mean just for boobs?
Yeah, just for boobs.
What's that other option? BB and BC podcast?
That's the great thing about the site. If you're not into reading the reviews, you can listen to them via the web, on your mobile device, through iTunes, and even Stitcher Smart Radio. And they cover the same types of films. Lesser known action, exploitation, and horror cinema. So yeah, to answer your question, I wasn't cruising porn.
That's too bad.
What's too bad?
That you weren't cruising for porn.
Why?
Because I was feeling kind of horny.
Oh, wait. Get back here. Hey, get back here.
Where are we? Who the hell are they? Where did I hear?
Put it for a reason. We're not just in the woods. We're somewhere else. Soul-Zest. And beat it. We can leave. Please, 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 please
The Taking is the 2012 horror thriller written and directed by both Lydell Jackson and Cecil Reed, and which stars John Hollis as Carl, Alana Jackler as Jade, and Linda Kennedy as Carolina, among a cast of several others. I couldn't find a budget or revenue even estimated, nor could I find a tagline, and IMDb does not have a rating yet for the film, but I gave it 7 out of 10 stars. The story opens with flashes of images from the woods, followed by a rumbling. And in the rumbling, we hear the voice of something. We don't know what, but myths about gods talking through bushes come to mind. A woman, bloodied and scared but defiant, yells out in the woods. She's saying, "Where are you?" But nothing answers. Instead, this voice tells us it must be satiated. But not in words we understand. The woman runs, she screams, she dies. Gods, though, are insatiable, and once fed, it demands another. And that was just the first 5 minutes. We then meet Carl. As his story unfolds, we learn through the whispers of this god in his ear that his girlfriend, Carolina, cheated on him, and that betrayal has led Carl to the conclusion that he had to kill her and her lover, who was his best friend. And this whispering, rumbling god knows that. It requires it, and requires that Carl feed it. The same with Jade. Her daughter was murdered, and her desire for vengeance against the killer are the sustenance this god, this rumbling thing, requires. Happiness invites sorrow. Virtue rots from disappointment. This is the first film from Reed and Jackson, collectively known as the BAP Artists, and it was an absolute success in my opinion. The story was tight and focused. We didn't get pulled away by unnecessary elements. Everything we see over the 76-minute runtime leads us to the ending. Each story element is deliberate, building suspense in the viewer as the stories unfold, showing us more about each character and each tale. But it does leave us with questions. Who, or more precisely, what is the rumbling voice? Why does it need human misery and pain to feed? How is it related to the family living in the woods that feed it? What does it give them in return? Where does it come from? We don't know. How does it select its victims? And how do we avoid becoming those victims? John Hollis, who plays Carl, was great in this picture. He projects his pain and his strength as well as his weakness to the viewer perfectly. We've all felt those feelings of betrayal and heartbreak, and when he's forced to relive them over and over for the pleasure of some rumbling creature, we feel his pain as well. We also feel his desire for revenge. Though when we see Carolina, we, at least I, kind of saw Carl's best friend's view as well. She is hot.
Oh, yeah.
But when she slowly, so slowly, spits blood into his mouth, we have a visual representation of what she's ultimately done to him. She's filled him with a bile that will ultimately destroy her, and then him both. Alana Jackler, who plays Jade, comes in halfway through the story. Hers is the tale of a mother who lost her young daughter to a killer, and her pain is that she lusts for revenge on that killer. And we're again pulled, yanked into the pain that she feels. Jackler's full, expressive eyes are a window into the pain her character feels. With a glance at the screen, you're there with her as she both loves and hates. Linda Kennedy, who played Carolina, was everything you can imagine. You can see why Carl fell in love with her, because she's quite a knockout, like I said. But when his visions of her go from the woman he loved to the woman who betrayed him, Kennedy captures that as well. You've got to respect an actor who can play both extremes and play them that well. It was a seamless shift that jars the viewer as much as it does Carl to see her go from one extreme to the other. The rest of the cast was also very well done. I was sorry we didn't get more of them, but we do see just enough for each character to get across their malevolence and their servitude to this rumbling voice. Frank Bliss, who plays that killer of Jade's daughter, Marilyn, was perfect on camera. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way. I'm sure he's a nice person and all, and looking at his picture on IMDb, he looks like a nice, normal, everyday guy. And he doesn't seem to be typecast looking over his resume. But on screen, he captured that disgusting, baby-killing, tongue-flicking, blood-covered child killer perfectly. But I do often wonder, how do you cast someone like Bliss in the role of a child molester? And how does an agent tell somebody like Bliss that they'd be perfect for that sort of part? Yeah, I saw an ad for a role playing a blood-covered baby killer, and the first thing that came to mind for me was you. I don't know, can somebody call in and tell me what that casting experience is like? But back to the story. As I said, the story was deliberate and evocative, which is a word I don't think I've used before to describe a film. No, I'm wrong. I have used the word. Once, in episode 37, when I was talking about zombie strippers. But I was being facetious then. I'm being absolutely serious now. And it's for all those reasons that on the Burdinsky rating scale of buy it, borrow it, or don't bother, the most killer in the woods rating scale on the planet, because it causes a rumbly in your tumbly if you give a poo, I'm going to rate The Taking a buy for most and at least a borrow for all. It's well done and strong, and I absolutely cannot wait to see what BAP artists do next.
Jay, get out of here. We've been through so much here. Why would they keep us here? Why would they want to take our souls? And put it for a reason. I've been having visions where I can see my ex-fiance and my best friend right in front of me.
How many drunken Vikings does it take to change a light bulb? Who the fuck cares? But if you'd like to listen to one drunken Viking talk about movies, TV, comic books, strange news, and other bullshit, why don't you grab a flagon of meat and check out Son of Odin's podcast at sonofodin.net.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of A Little Dead Podcast. Big thanks to Mike Zombie for being dead and loving it. Also to Lydell Jackson for the screener copy of The Taking. Also want to say a big thank you to Naomi Grossman, to Vaughn at Motion Picture Massacre, to Zombie Farmer, Son of Odin, Jay Mullins, the awesome Keith Latch, and also Steve Wands. Join me next week when I'll be watching Ember Days. But until then, I'm out of here. So till the next episode, this is your friend McPierce saying later. You've been listening to A Little Dead Podcast. You can email us your comments at alittledead@gmail.com, or you can call the Little Dead comment line at 206-338-0665. You can download the show from iTunes, from our website at alittledead.com, or you can stream it using the Stitcher app on your smartphone. You can follow us on Twitter, and we invite you to join our group on Facebook. but no word on who she will be edit. And Aquaman edit. And Hale Felicov will begin writing for Green edit. And Hale Felicov edit. And Hale edit. Alice Eve, who will play Dr. Carol edit. Which is available for download now as well edit. As his story unfolds, we learn the edit. This
Pinball Hall of Fame. Yeah, it exists. There's a couple hundred pool tables.
Hey, Gordy, give me a shot! Blee-arg.